Glad you're here this morning. If you would please take your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. What we will see this morning is that chapters and divisions in the Scriptures are not inspired. The chapters are not inspired. The divisions, that was added later so we could all follow along in the public reading and public study of the Word of God. The reality is chapter 18 should probably conclude at about verse 10 or verse 9 of chapter 19. It's all one part of a parenthetical insertion that John is told to write about. Babylon the Great came before the remembrance of God Almighty after He had poured out the bold judgments upon the earth. God, as it were, is wrenching the world system out of the hands of the Antichrist, out of the hands of the false prophet, and He's usurping His rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in chapter 19. What we saw in chapter 17 was God's destruction in dealing with the Babylon the great whore, the false church, the false religious system, if you will. It did not start out as a Christian or Judeo-Christian kind of a reality. Started out with Semiramis and Tammuz. The resurrection of Tammuz was propagated as a reality, which was just fabrication. Nimrod at the Tower of Babel. Babylon actually finds its roots all the way back in the Old Testament times, early as chapter 11 in the book of Genesis. What was begun there is consummated and brought to its conclusion in the book of Revelation. So what we saw in chapter 17 was God topples the great whore. She is called such as we are prone to just kind of get our minds all scrunched up about, oh man, what are we using those words? Yeah, because God says this is the false church, antithetical to what the Bible calls the bride of Christ, which is the church. And she has been the one that we as humanity have gone after instead of God. And we saw her a couple weeks ago. Chapter 18 showed us the Babylonian system of government, the political Babylon. Because the woman rode the beast, she's the one who's kind of manipulated and governed it throughout the history of Gentile world rule. All the way from the times of Pharaoh, all the way down to the times of Rome and the revived Roman Empire. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, has in fact manipulated, ruled, and given a reason for moral, for some kind of a moral compass. She provided it, but it was a weak one, as we see, because the world is full of all kinds of wickedness during the tribulation. Chapter 18 shows us the falling of the Babylonian system. We noted last week, God calls the people of God out of her, lest they partake of her plagues. Why did He do that? Because this is right at the cusp of the millennial kingdom. Right before Jesus breaks the sky and enters into His own realm, as it were, and sets up the millennial kingdom, He calls out His people. He says, come out of her. And then He tells them to turn around and judge her. He's getting them primed, as it were. And it's actually an angel telling them, come out, judge her, render unto her double, because we will rule and reign on earth for 1,000 years with Christ. The tribulation saints will come out of the tribulation, enter into the millennium, having not been glorified. Somebody's got to populate the earth after Jesus sets up His kingdom. We will come with Him as glorified saints, but God will give them a part. Those who had suffered during the tribulation, who had gotten their faith right with God, got their faith in Jesus, put their faith in the shed blood of Jesus, those people, through the tribulation, will come out. God will turn around and give them a hand in judging that system that was so hard on them for the past 7 years. And we see this. I want to read something for you out of Daniel chapter 7. If you want to go there, you may. I will be reading about 6 verses or so. A prophecy about the Antichrist coming. And he says, I beheld, in verse 9, till the thrones were cast down. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. fire, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Verse 21, it says, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, that's the Antichrist, and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. And judgments was given, and you might underline this, judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. You will judge the nations with Christ in that day. But the saints who go through the tribulation will also have a part in that, as we saw in chapter 18. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Verse 26, but the judgment shall sit. New King James says, but the court shall be set, and they shall take away his dominion, that's the Antichrist, to consume and to destroy it until the end. The whole kingdom of Antichrist is going to be turned over and wiped clean. The Bible says, and the kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Folks, that's us. We win! I'm telling you, folks, we win. And these verses are buried in Daniel. And we read them, and there's so many things going on when we read it. And our minds miss it. But God said He's given the kingdom to us. The meek shall inherit the earth. He told us that in the Beatitudes. In a word, He says it here in a passage. Back to chapter 19 of Revelation. I tell you those verses to remind us all. And what's happening is God is looking at the world system. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He sees it. All these are of the world. They're not of the Father. They're all going to pass away. God must judge it. He has to turn the plate over and wipe it clean. We see Him doing this in the Old Testament time after time. He takes nations, turns them up. When He brought Israel into the Promised Land, it took 400 and some years before God said, the iniquity of the Canaanites is full. When it time came, Joshua crossed the river Jordan. He marches around. Biggest, baddest city in the room, which was Jericho. He does it 7 days, once a day. And on the seventh day, seven times, the walls fall flat. God delivers the people in Jericho over into the hands of God's people. They were not mighty warriors. They were travelers and wanderers. They were nomads for some 40 years. These were a group of people who barely knew how to hold a sword. And God gave it to them. God does that because God gets fed up. Sodom and Gomorrah in a day. Fire and brimstone rains out of heaven. God barely is able to get Lot to cooperate. Get out of the city. And yet He grabs him by the hand at the last possible moment and drags him out of the city. And He takes him, his wife, and his children, and He gets them away. We know Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. She wanted the world. She wanted the city. She looked back and God transformed her into a pillar of salt, a testimony. These things are written for our admonition and our learning. When we look at chapter 19, after the great harlot has been judged, after the world political system has been toppled and burned with fire, we saw that in chapter 18 as well. The smoke of her burning was something that is punctuated in the passage. And over again, look at verse 9 of chapter 18. The kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. We're going to visit that again, but it is going to be set on fire. Peter, 1 Peter 5:13 says, what manner of men ought ye to be in all soberness and godliness, seeing all these things shall be dissolved? God is going to destroy the city. And we're going to see that. We've seen it in our study in Isaiah. We'll revisit that in a moment. But what I want you to see is verses 1 to 9 of chapter 19 dovetail. Because after the city is destroyed, and verse 24 of 18 says, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. All that were slain upon the earth. The Babylonian system does not entail just Babylon as a city, but it entails the entire world system. All the blood of all people of all time was found in her. She is the one who manipulates and twists and changes and stirs up. She is the one that creates havoc and murder and sin and death, and she is to be judged, and she will be in 1 hour. You will find that word over and over again. In 1 hour, such a great establishment has been destroyed. Have you ever put your mind around it? The whole world? Paris and New York and all of the various large cities, Atlanta,
burnt.
Now, there's going to be a bunch of them already burnt because we know in the tribulation there's going to be fire rain down, the cities are going to be burned, the scorched earth, things are going to happen. But whatever remnants are left, God is going to burn it up the rest of the way in chapter 19. And after it's all done, what is heaven's reaction? Well, verse 1 says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah." Means praise God. You and I have no idea the changes God is going to make. The Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." For you and me, who are going to be in a glorified situation, having been raptured, taken as the bride into the bride chamber, and brought back, we will be glorified. We will be in a state of chronic ecstasy. And when Jesus renews the earth in a day, He speaks the word, and streams break forth in the desert, and the lion is turned back to lying down and frolicking with the lamb, and things are all restored, people will begin to find synapses in their brains that haven't worked for millennia, really. And all of a sudden, their joy will be restored. They'll be like Adam and Eve. There was no boredom in the garden. Man, the lions were rolling around. They were coming up and nuzzling you and saying, "Let's play." And there was all kinds of neat stuff, and the temperature was absolutely perfect, and if you cut your finger, it'd be healed by dinner time, and man, everything was perfect, and people didn't die like they do now. And 1,000 years, man, that's about a lifetime, according to the standards of the pre-flood era, and God's going to restore that. And these people are going to be lit up, and King Jesus will be on the spot, and the saints glorified, even angels interacting with men. That's what it was in the pre-flood world. Sons of God intermarried with the daughters of men, and God's had to take some of them, put them in chains. Folks, the book is awesome. We have much to look forward to. And when the Bible says that this world system that you and I are kind of overwhelmed with and squeezed into today and have to cooperate with because it's all we got. And there's nothing wrong with working in it, because even Paul, when they were going to beat him one time, he says, is it lawful for you to beat a Roman citizen? He claimed his Roman citizenship. It's okay, be an American. Be a good American. Be a good citizen. But no, these things will dissolve. Don't hold tightly to. Let goods and kindreds go. This mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. He's going to turn it upside down. He's going to wipe it clean. And the cities are going to be burnt and dissolved. And all heaven's going to shout, Hallelujah. Now the reality here is this is referring probably to the martyrs. This is probably the tribulation martyrs. They're probably crying out from the altar when they earlier in the book said, "How long?" Now they're saying what? They're saying, "Hallelujah. You have judged the wicked harlot. You have judged the Babylonian system." It's interesting, in the Old Testament you will find a reference to Babylonian-ish stuff, Babylonian-ish garments. Folks, when you buy all of the brand name best, coolest things, when a man buys a suit from the best suit store, when some kid buys a Nike checkmark just because it's a Nike, that's Babylonian-ish. We have to be careful about getting caught up with it. Be stylish. I like what George Washington said. He said, "Don't try to be up to date, but don't try to be out of date either. Just stay right along there."